This is an Audio Renaissance production of Wherever You Go, There You Are. Written by Jon Kabat-Zinn. Adapted for audio and produced by Bill Hartvey. And now, here is Jon Kabat-Zinn.
Guess what? When it comes right down to it, wherever you go, there you are. Whatever you wind up doing, that's what you wound up doing. Whatever you are thinking right now, that's what's on your mind. Whatever has happened to you, it's already happened. The important question is, how are you going to handle it? In other words, now what? Like it or not, this moment is all we really have to work with. Yet we all too easily conduct our lives as if forgetting momentarily that we are here, where we already are, and that we are in what we are already in. In every moment, we find ourselves at the crossroad of here and now. But when the cloud of forgetfulness over where we are now sets in that very moment we get lost. Now what becomes a real problem? By lost, I mean that we momentarily lose touch with ourselves and with the full extent of our possibilities. Instead, we fall into a robot-like way of seeing and thinking and doing. In those moments, we break contact with what is deepest in ourselves and affords us perhaps our greatest opportunities for creativity, learning, and growing. If we're not careful, those clouded moments can stretch out and become most of our lives. To allow ourselves to be truly in touch with where we already are, no matter where that is, we have got to pause in our experience long enough to let the present moment sink in, long enough to actually feel the present moment, to see it in its fullness, to hold it in awareness, and thereby come to know and understand it better. Only then can we accept the truth of this moment of our life, learn from it, and move on. Instead, it often seems as if we are preoccupied with the past, with what has already happened, or with a future that hasn't arrived yet. We look for someplace else to stand, where we hope things will be better, happier, more the way we want them to be, or the way they used to be. Most of the time, we are only partially aware of this inner tension, if we are aware of it at all. What's more, we are also only partially aware at best of exactly what we're doing in and with our lives and the effects our actions and more subtly our thoughts have on what we see and don't see, what we do and don't do. When we speak of meditation, it's important for you to know that this is not some weird cryptic activity as our popular culture might have it. It does not involve becoming some kind of zombie, vegetable, self-absorbed narcissist, navel-gazer, space cadet, cultist, devotee, mystic, or Eastern philosopher. Meditation is simply about being yourself and knowing something about who that is. It's about coming to realize that you are on a path, whether you like it or not, namely the path that is your life. Meditation may help us to see that this path we call our life has direction, that it is always unfolding, moment by moment, and that what happens now in this moment influences what happens next. If what happens now does influence what happens next, then doesn't it make sense to look around a bit from time to time so that you're more in touch with what is happening now, so that you can take your inner and outer bearings and perceive with clarity the path that you are actually on and the direction in which you are going? If you do, maybe you will be in a better position to chart a course for yourself that is truer to your inner being, a soul path, a path with heart, your path with a capital P. If not, the sheer momentum of your unconsciousness in this moment just colors the next moment. The days, months, and years quickly go by unnoticed, unused, unappreciated. In my earlier book, Full Catastrophe Living, I tried to make the path of mindfulness accessible to mainstream Americans so that it would not feel Buddhist or mystical so much as sensible. Mindfulness has to do above all with attention and awareness, which are universal human qualities. But in our society, we tend to take these capacities for granted and don't think to develop them systematically in the service of self-understanding and wisdom. Meditation is the process by which we go about deepening our attention and awareness, refining them, and putting them to greater practical use in our lives. Full catastrophe living can be thought of as a navigational chart intended for people facing physical or emotional pain or reeling from the effects of too much stress. I wrote Full Catastrophe Living thinking of the people referred to us as patients in our stress reduction clinic at the University of Massachusetts Medical Center. I was moved to do so by the remarkable transformations in mind and body that many people report as they put aside trying to change the severe problems that brought them to the clinic in the first place and engage over an 8-week period in the intensive discipline of opening and listening that characterizes the practice of mindfulness. It had to speak to the pressing needs of people with serious medical problems and chronic pain, as well as to those suffering in different kinds of stressful situations. This series is different. It's meant to provide brief and easy access to the essence of mindfulness meditation and its applications for people whose lives may or may not be dominated by immediate problems of stress, pain, and illness. It is offered particularly for those who resist structured programs, and for people who don't like to be told what to do, but are curious enough about mindfulness and its relevance to try to piece things together for themselves with a few hints and suggestions here and there. The focus is on the spirit of mindfulness, both in our formal attempts at practice and in our efforts to bring it into all aspects of our daily lives. Each chapter is a glimpse through one face of the multifaceted diamond of mindfulness. The chapters are related to each other by tiny rotations of the crystal. Some may sound similar to others, but each facet is also different, unique. This exploration of the diamond of mindfulness is offered for all those who would chart a course toward greater wisdom and sanity in their lives. What is required is a willingness to look deeply at one's present moments, no matter what they hold, in a spirit of generosity, kindness toward oneself, and openness toward what might be possible. Part 1 explores the rationale and background for taking on or deepening a personal practice of mindfulness. It challenges the reader to experiment with introducing mindfulness into his or her life in a number of different ways.